Well, hello and welcome. This is another episode of Undone Redone. I am Trey Lovern here with my gorgeous bride, Melody.
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
And we are so glad you guys have joined us again. This is episode 8. It's amazing how time has been flying for us.
Absolutely.
And, if you are just joining us today, we do hope you'll go back and check out some of our other episodes. We've been having a lot of fun doing this this podcast, really just out of the story that God has written in our lives and where we've been in recent years, and just being able to share with you about that. And we just had an opportunity just getting through here in Alabama with spring break, and so had a few days down at the beach, had a lot of fun there.
Yep.
Relaxing and kind of reading and being rejuvenated, had a lot of fun.
It was awesome. Lots of volleyball.
We found some families and got to spend a couple hours every day doing the beach volleyball thing. Also right in the middle of March Madness. I know a lot of folks are probably already ripping up their brackets because we've got Wichita State, LaSalle, and Florida Gulf Coast all in the Sweet 16. And if somebody predicted that happening, then...
Actually, I had a client this morning, a girl, and she, I think, is still in the mix. So
she's still got those picked.
She's still got them picked, yes.
I'm going to venture out and say she randomly picked those teams without any kind of idea about records, because... Anybody who follows basketball, that would have been some hard picks. It's really exciting. This Florida Gulf Coast team has been a lot of fun to watch.
So you're saying that you ripped up your bracket already?
You know what? I didn't even do a bracket this year.
I didn't either.
And the night before the tournament started, forgot. And then the day that the game started, I got busy and never got it done. Our boys do have brackets. And I think
they ripped theirs up yet?
I think they have. I think our oldest son had Georgetown winning it all, and they're already out. So thanks to Florida Gulf Coast.
Okay, so Trey, today we're going to be talking about, in our podcast number 8, we're going to be talking, since it is Holy Week and we're moving from Palm Sunday into Easter, we're going to be talking a little bit about idols. We're going to be talking specifically about God saving us now and kind of the question that we all have. The core question that we have being, who is going to rescue me? And that kind of moving into Easter week, picking up some of the scriptures about Palm Sunday moving into Easter and what that was like.
Yeah, and let's kind of go back to the story. I wrote this morning a podcast for Route 1520's blog, and it was something I was wanting to sending out to the guys and just kind of reflecting on Holy Week. And you know, it's always intrigued me that, you know, really within less than a week's time, this crowd went from celebrating, waving palm branches, you know, just this huge celebration as Jesus entered Jerusalem, to Friday, less than a week later, an angry mob yelling, "Crucify him." And, you know, just kind of maybe unpacking that story, because for those who maybe aren't as familiar, you know, Jesus had foretold that he was going toward Jerusalem.
Right.
Scripture says he set his face toward Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And really, the disciples were a little discomforted by that. They kind of knew the rumblings. They kind of knew that Jerusalem wasn't a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, there were many occasions in the Gospels when Jesus would mention Jerusalem, they were kind of like, you know, Jesus, maybe we should not do that, or maybe we should wait a little bit. And they were really reluctant to go to Jerusalem. But as they entered, they had to be a little surprised by the celebration. I mean, it was a Jewish custom that in celebration, they would wave palm branches. And the word that they were using, and it's kind of where we get the name for today's podcast, Hosanna. It's a word that's in many songs, especially around this time of year in Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were quoting Psalm 118, 26 says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God." And so I was curious. I started looking at, what does this word Hosanna mean? And it really kind of shed some light maybe on where their hearts were, because if you remember where the Jews were at that point, they knew that it had been foretold that there was going to be a Messiah coming. And Jesus throughout his earthly ministry had claimed to be that Messiah.
Yeah.
And here he was in Jerusalem riding on a donkey, not a war horse, not coming in as this conquering king, but on this lowly, very simple, humble donkey, he comes riding in, a symbol of peace, not of war. But what they really wanted, they really longed for, was to be delivered, and to be delivered now. And deliverance for them, the main obstacle that they saw was they were under the oppression of Rome.
Absolutely. They were total oppression. Hosanna, I finally found the person that's going to rescue
that's
me.
That's right. Hosanna, save,
the man,
save us
King
now.
Of the Jews.
Save
yes.
us now. The palm branches are waving.
Yep.
But then what's really interesting about the story is Jesus, he doesn't like ride that PR swell.
Right.
You know, if anything, it's almost like he took a PR script and just did the exact opposite of what you would expect to really
right.
get the crowds behind you.
Right.
Because from that point on Sunday, Palm Sunday, he begins to talk about the fall of Jerusalem. He begins to talk about in the temple, the famous scene when he runs mm-hmm. out the money changers mm-hmm. and he gets the whip and just, you know, makes the scene there at the temple.
Or he could have come in on this incredible horse or, you know, something that
yeah.
would have made it a little more extravagant than coming in on a donkey.
Yeah, but even riding that donkey was a fulfillment
right.
of an Old Testament prophecy. So the crowd, though, they wanted to be saved now. And it didn't take long throughout that week for them to start hearing enough about his message that this is not the sound of this conquering king
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
we really were longing for or hoping for. And ultimately that culminated in Friday, that same crowd that had said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now was that same crowd that shaking their fists, yelling,
mm-hmm.
crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's easy. And I know as a kid growing up in church, you know, to look at that passage, like, what a bunch of dummies. I mean, mm-hmm. how could they go and be so wishy-washy, especially in the shorter span than even a week's time?
Right.
But how often, I know in my own life, I have been that way. And when it really, when we have an expectation, and this is the pain point in my life, and this is what I want to happen,
mm-hmm.
and when then we realize that it's not going to work out that way, or what we had put our hope in was not coming through for
mm-hmm.
us the way we had hoped or prayed, how quickly we can turn on that. And certainly that's what the crowd did.
Well, and just an example of that, I mean, even I'm always thinking about examples that people, our audience can really relate to. Last week, you know, this whole college experience, filling mm-hmm. out applications for our daughter who's going to be going to college in the fall, and filling out these applications, and then all the leadership scholarships and all the different scholarships. And we're kind of down to her two choices. And last week, we got another scholarship package in the mail, you know, from one of these. And I found myself, you know, looking at that scholarship amount and really just kind of going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
Mm.
You know, instead of celebrating what has come in,
yeah.
I went directly to, oh my goodness, how are we going to make this work? And
yeah.
really just finding myself very much in my head, very much, okay, God, I really need you to show up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of that prayer of, I need you now.
Yeah.
You know, I really, you know, I need to know that I know that she's going to be able to go to at least one of these schools, you know,
yeah.
and just in that moment, really needing rescue from just the tension and the, you know, what about,
yeah.
you know.
And I think it's easy. I know certainly in my own life, I can relate to those places when we see the one major obstacle and we think that is our biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what the people there on that Palm Sunday didn't realize that they thought their biggest problem was Rome.
Right.
And the only thing they could see a Messiah accomplishing was overthrowing Rome and setting them free from this oppression
mm-hmm.
that they were under. When actually Jesus was there to save them,
mm-hmm.
it didn't look like what they were
praying for,
what they were expecting, and they didn't really see even maybe their real problem. They were wanting a Band-Aid,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus was bringing true healing, because by dying, by becoming the sacrificial lamb, he took care of their real problem, all
right.
of our real problem, and that
mm-hmm.
was sin and death.
Absolutely.
But yet, wow, what a shift as far as what expectation. Nobody could have scripted that. Nobody could have said our Savior, you know, even the way he came into the world
mm-hmm.
as a baby in a stable, a smelly, stinking stable, he came that way. And then the way he left to save us, He saved us through suffering and through pain and death. And it really just smacks in the face of what our flesh often desires. Our flesh desires comfort. Our flesh wants it now. Mm-hmm. We want, and we are so sometimes with tunnel vision thinking that we see clearly what our real need and real problem is. And I think just rereading that this morning, what I walked away with was, you know, what's going on right now in my life?
Right.
That maybe my perspective is limited. Maybe I think I understand my real dilemma, but often I have to step back and trust that God understands my dilemma much more than I do, and that I can trust that He's good. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes in these moments, like the crowd I'm sure experienced, is it feels like we're left on our own. It feels like God has abandoned us. He's forgotten about us because, again, He hasn't come through like we want Him to.
And He never does come through like we want Him to. Yeah. Or when we want Him to.
Yes. And we want it now.
Right.
And very rarely does He do it now in mm-hmm. an instant.
Mm-hmm.
Our experience, I know, with our story, Melody, is it's a process.
Right.
And we don't like process. You know, we like to be in control of the process. If it's a formula, we want it to be a quick formula. You know, let's check off these boxes. And right. on a number of these podcasts, we've talked about our need to perform over the years, and
right.
we felt like our performance equaled a certain result,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing the performance, therefore, why am I not getting the result? You know, there's that expectation again, and through our own pain and the journey that God has had us on, it's just been a lesson after lesson after lesson that His plan is not the way we would have scripted it,
mm-hmm.
but we can say, looking back over just our own history, especially stories of Scripture too, He's good.
Right.
It may not look like we think it's supposed to look, but we can, in those dark chapters of our story, in those chapters where it looks like there is no hope, we can say, God, I don't understand,
mm-hmm.
and this is terrifying, but I'm going to trust, just like You have come through in the past,
mm-hmm.
that you are writing this story and that You're good, and I've just got to take comfort in that.
Well, and I think, again, just I can't tell you how many times over the course of this year as I've dealt with our daughter with college, I've said, you know, God, you know, this is an adventure. It's going to be exciting to find out where you're going to end up. And God already knows where you're going and how it's going to come about and all that kind of stuff. And again, as I opened that letter last week, I forgot it all.
Yeah.
You know, I could not remember even those things that I had told her, because all I could see was these figures in front of my face. And God, you know, constantly makes the impossible possible. But in that moment, mm. all I could see was it's impossible.
Yeah.
And then even taking it a step further, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to tell her this may not even happen. What's mm-hmm. that going to do? You know, instead yeah. of just being able to step back out of it, trusting God, and again, the process that He's got us on.
Yeah.
And then just to see how that all works out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I needed to be rescued from that in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Jews needed to be rescued from their oppression.
Yeah. And how quickly do we forget what God has done in the past?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, I know in my own story, I think, yeah, but this time.
Right.
That was then, this is now, and this is real, and this is my present, you know. And I think the whispering thought in the back of my mind often is, what if all that was a coincidence?
Right.
What if all that I have chalked up to God coming through and God providing and God, you know, really redeeming my story and all that, what if it was just coincidence? And mm-hmm. what if I am really left on my own now? And, you know, that's that subtle lie that starts playing, you know, in my head. And certainly, as you mentioned, the financial thing, that's always been my mm-hmm. main trigger point as far as what really bubbles up my pain, bubbles up my uncertainty. How am I going to make it in the future? And it really usually does have something to do with finances.
Mm-hmm.
Can I trust that God's going to provide? Can I trust that He's going to come through? Because I think sometimes, you know, with the there on Palm Sunday, they're dealing with a situation that was kind of outside of their control. And so there may be those listening that are dealing with a very painful situation that mm-hmm. maybe is their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you look to God to really come through
right.
and save, maybe the part of that is, I want to be saved now, but maybe I don't even feel like I'm worthy of even asking God because I've created this mess.
Right.
And that subtle and sometimes not so subtle lie that I've got to fix this. How can I expect God to come and intervene, you know, in a miry mess that I have made just because of my own choices? You know, I kind of chose this path, So mm-hmm. I need to find my path back to God. And that's a very real lie of the enemy as well. And
or maybe even you're a victim of somebody else's mess. You know, yeah. maybe you are in the aftermath of somebody else's choices, and you still got that question, like, why am I even here? Why am I having to deal with the wake of all these circumstances and consequences? But again, you know, God is at work, and he mm-hmm. who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. That doesn't mean it's going to be complete today or tomorrow or even next month, but he will be faithful, and there is good that comes out of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think this healing that we desire, mm-hmm. you know, just like they desired this healing, this salvation now.
Now.
But then it became a process, and our experience has been that it's often on the other side of pain.
Right.
And when our MO is to avoid pain at all costs, you know, and that's where I was for so long. I want healing, but I don't want pain.
Right.
And it's like I couldn't have it both ways. Because what I began to understand is that the pain, there is a healing pain that's part of the healing process. And because pain in any form was something to be avoided, because what I believed, if there's pain, then I must not be doing it right. Because if I'm doing it right, then everything's kind of unfolding.
Pain-free, yeah.
Yeah, pain-free.
Right.
Because that's, I think, one of the desires of our flesh. Life is supposed to be pain-free. Why can't it be pain-free? God, come through for me to make it pain-free.
Mm-hmm.
And
or I just thought if you're making good choices, that you're pain-free.
Yeah.
You know, everything that you do that's a good choice and all that, you won't have any pain.
Yeah.
You know, pain is for those people that make bad choices. Well, yeah. That's definitely a fallacy there.
Yeah, and to now trust God that mm-hmm. he's good mm-hmm. and he's redeeming our story.
Right.
And part of that story, and a big part of that story, is taking us into those painful places.
Right.
To willingly, courageously go to some places that terrify us. To revisit some places maybe of our past, because it's tempting. We want the healing at 30,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're cruising at 30,000 feet, you know, without a care in the world. We kind of have these vague notions in the back of our mind. Okay, God, I think I'm struggling with trusting you. You know, I know I've got some things in my past that maybe have led to that, but Lord, just help me trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really want to go back and visit any of
right.
that stuff. I don't really want to really understand, you know, what's led me to this place of mistrust. Just heal me. You know, that's the quick and easy, save me now. And it's been my experience, and you know, on the journey that we've been on, is that very often that healing is almost it's a crash. It's a painful process where it's not at 30,000 feet, because I know
right.
I don't learn lessons at 30,000
nope.
feet. It's kind of like the mountaintop. You know, the mountaintop's a great place to be, but there's not much vegetation on the mountaintop. You know, as you're up on the top of the mountain, there's very little that's growing
right.
there. It's rocky. There's the wind that's almost blowing you off the mountain. But down in the valley, it is so luscious. It's mm-hmm. green. It's fertile. And I just see that so often plays out in our life, that it's those valley moments, those moments that if we had our choices, we'd probably want to avoid. But God loves us so much that he takes us to those places, because ultimately it is for our good.
Right.
And it's so hard in those painful chapters, though, to trust that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this maybe where I am because of my own doing, or is this truly where God is?
Well, and
is
just having
it?
The faith that you can believe this will happen, this will come through, but you can't always see it. And, you know, again, just back to the whole college experience. Had I opened that mailbox up mm-hmm. and the numbers been right, I mean, it would have been just smooth sailing. We're good to go. Everything's great. But now we're back to, okay, I can't see it. It's not tangible. And I've got to now dig in and rely on faith again
yeah.
that it's all going to come to fruition.
Yeah,
again, maybe the way I want it to look, or maybe not the way that I want it to look.
Yeah,
but it's going to come.
Becomes that crisis of belief.
Right.
You know, and
absolutely.
I think where you and I were for so long is that we choose to believe once, and that carries us the rest of our life.
Yep.
You know, we did it. In my case, I became a believer when I was 11. You were even younger than
eight,
that.
Yeah.
You know, 8 when you became a believer. And it's almost like that should be good for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one choice to believe. But every day, we have these crises of belief. Every day, we're either choosing to believe what is true or believe the lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every mm-hmm. day, we're desperate for the truth of the gospel mm-hmm. that says we are his beloved in spite of our circumstances and how our circumstances may be making us feel at the moment.
Well, I don't even think that I allowed myself the permission to not believe. You
yeah.
know, I thought that I had to be happy, hopeful, you know, to for everything, that the whole half glass empty was just not believing. You know, I'm totally of the mindset of half glass full. And so optimism, not pessimism, you know, is just not a part of the process at all.
Yeah. Really. So what would it have looked like before all of our undoing and everything that we've been through had you opened that scholarship thing when you weren't giving yourself permission to believe? What would that have looked like?
I think that I probably would have had to work harder, try harder, do something more, or maybe even try to pinpoint why the numbers weren't where they're supposed to be. You know, yeah. That there was some reason instead of this is God's, you know, God is sovereign and he is allowing this to be what it is. There almost has to be some reason to it.
Yeah, almost like revisit the formula. Mm-hmm. What box did I mm-hmm. miss? You know, because I know if I'd done it all
right,
this would have come through the way I expected.
Or maybe there's some sin in Trey's life that's keeping me from this as an overcoming legalist. You know, what's Trey doing or not doing that?
That's thwarting my plans.
Yeah, it's thwarting the plan. Yeah.
That's good to know.
I'm grateful that I don't have to think that way anymore.
That's right. Well, it's just so when you're trying, let's be honest. I mean, what you and I both, because I mean, my story is very similar.
Yeah.
It was almost, we call it a lot, it's behavioralism. If I mm-hmm. do good, God loves me more. If I follow the formula, everything's going to work out fine. And what we've come to discover is that's only a few clicks away from paganism.
Right.
I mean, any pagan religion out there is whatever God they're serving, mm-hmm. it's all about pleasing the gods or displeasing the gods.
Right.
You know, and if things are not working out, your crops are failing, and
there's a reason.
There's calamity, right. Then you haven't pleased the gods, and you got to figure out the yeah. right lever to pull or button to push to make the gods like you again. Mm-hmm. And that is total paganism, and it's certainly not the gospel. But yet, for I know 30 years of my life, that was fundamentally and foundationally, you know, how I was living and what I was operating out of. Well, here in Holy Week, I hope, you know, as we've kind of just unpacked, this is not your typical discussion,
right?
You know, when it relates to Holy Week, especially even the word Hosanna and Palm Sunday, this word of save me now. And, you know, I think just to be able to unpack this fleshly desire for God not only to save, but to do it now. There's in that Hebrew word, there's a sense of urgency, you know, for it to be done now. And, you know, whatever we're facing, you
right.
know, there's that temptation. But, you know, I think the lesson that we continue to learn is that we're in process, that God is writing our stories. And many times we are in chapters of our story that it's hard to make heads or tails out of it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand how in the world is God redeeming this part? Why in the world is this happening in my story? But it's like any great movie, and you and I have talked about movies, you know, some previous episodes.
That we love, yeah.
Yeah. Those movies are so great, and we love them because there's conflict. There is. There's real struggle.
Right.
There's stuff that's hurt. It's hard. You know, it's not just, I mean, we don't go to movies. We wouldn't want to pay for a movie that's just everything happy, happy, joy, joy, and there's no conflict and there's no tension. There's no nothing. It's like, why do I want to go pay to watch that? But the movies that really move us are those that there is a protagonist.
Right.
And we root for that protagonist. There's a real antagonist. And there's events going on. There's struggle. There's tension. And we're rooting for that protagonist to be able to overcome. Why should it be any different in our story?
Right.
And so if we can keep that perspective, whatever we're going through right now, the perspective of we don't have to figure it all out, that we have a God who loves us
mm-hmm.
and who is not safe, but very, very good, who is taking us through that.
Right. And I think, too, just reminding ourselves, you know, we were created to be able to struggle, you yeah. know, so that we can run to something, you know. And I think for me, when I sit in those places of just where I do have that crisis of belief or just kind of saying, okay, God, where are you in this? Being able to remind myself in Galatians 2 and 4 that I my righteousness is in Christ, that I am a well-provided daughter of the King, and that those are the scriptures that can move me toward remembering and belief and faith again when I tend to have a moment of, okay, where are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, crisis of belief or unbelief. And just, I think, to remember that as we go through it, we're not we're not going to be in the struggle forever. So many times it's for a small season, but it is to grow and to deepen my walk with Christ. And just to, you know, as just like you're saying, as we remember Holy Week this week, to remember He is Hosanna, not to rescue me from this one little moment, but to ultimately rescue
That's
me.
That's right. He is saving. And
yes.
His salvation is for our deepest needs, our
Absolutely.
Even desires and needs that we can't even maybe comprehend
words.
Or put into words
yeah.
right now. And sometimes we're so focused on our perceived and felt need mm-hmm. But we have to trust that He is saving us from those things that we don't even know we need salvation from.
Absolutely.
One of the things toward the end of that post, I said, when our expectation is for life to be pain-free, we will miss the hope that springs from the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm.
The healing that we have been seeking is found in the frontier of suffering and death where we least expect it. And there's so much of a brand of Christianity that is life is supposed to be clean and neat. Life is supposed to be without struggle. Life is, if you're doing it right, you know, then everything's working out fine. And as we have talked about and signed off last week and we'll do again this week, you know, it's messy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clean and neat.
Right.
And the more I know in our own story that we've begun to embrace the messiness and look through the lens and expectation even that
right.
life is supposed to be messy. And it is messy. It's broken. We're in a fallen, broken world, you know, but for so many years we had this expectation. It's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
There's all these levels of denial. It's so much more freeing to live authentically,
mm-hmm.
you know, facing the truth of our reality rather than trying to have this belief system almost that we had propped up, you know, it's almost like a little house of cards that we had to be in some levels of denial about reality to keep that deck of cards in place.
Absolutely.
Because if we were really honest about the struggle, like you're saying, opening that crisis of belief with the scholarship,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever it is, you know, we could either allow ourselves to feel that or we kind of flippantly, you know, convinced ourselves we weren't really feeling that and put on a smile and here found a little cliche or a Bible verse to make us feel better.
Well, and I think too, just as a reminder too, I could sit there and beat myself up over that I can't even believe I'm here and shame myself for that. Or I can tell myself I've forgotten, I can repent, and then I can continue
yeah.
moving forward in faith. And that's really what this process is about. As we saw, you know, the Jews forgetting,
mm-hmm.
you know, we could say, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. Or we can relate that to how many times do we walk out of church and, you know, get into the middle of our week and we've forgotten as well.
That's right.
You know, I know one of my greatest sins is the sin of self-sufficiency, just being able to pull myself up by my bootstraps and just continue on because I know if I'm doing it, then it's going to get done.
Yeah.
But to be able to say, okay, I've forgotten already, and to be able to repent of that, and then to march forward believing and, mm-hmm. and with that faith again.
Yeah.
As He is Hosanna, the one that's going to save me and rescue me.
Yeah. Well, we hope for everyone listening that you have a fantastic week of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
This is the truth that our entire faith hinges on.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is great, but Christmas without Easter is meaningless.
Right.
God not only came, but He came to die for us, to die in our place.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that sacrifice, we now have life. That Friday was very painful to understand what He went through on our behalf. But Sunday, the pain of Friday makes Sunday all the sweeter.
Absolutely.
That we now have true victory, not just a Band-Aid
mm-hmm.
Salvation, but truly our deepest need that death, hell, and the grave have been defeated.
Absolutely.
We have a few products that will be available here in the very near future. One, we had mentioned a marriage seminar that we did
Conference.
A couple of weekends
mm-hmm.
ago called Perfectly Imperfect Marriage. The 3-session audio for that are going to be available soon. It's Perfectly Imperfect Marriage. It's Hard Work and Messy. Bring Your Boots.
Mm-hmm.
And then also,
we
shared our story. Our divorce didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be having that up on our websites as well and make that available. We've also got some really neat things happening on the front of helping churches develop recovery groups. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and your church might be interested in developing a recovery emphasis, specifically in the area of codependency or sex and pornography, mm-hmm. We know that's all a problem. Well, what we're doing at Route 1520 is beginning to develop solutions to get men and women in community where true healing can take place and really mm-hmm. challenge some of the beliefs that maybe lead to some of that acting out behavior. So look us up on Route1520.com for that. Also, we are privileged to be a part of the Big Brains Media family. They do such a tremendous job in making this available for us, but also just some other great content mm-hmm. That's available there. You can find out about all of those with World Matters, the Worldview Show. We've got, I know there's one for Alabama football, one for Auburn football. Not that anybody's interested in football around here. I know it's such a waste of time that Mr. Sample does week mm-hmm. after week, but no.
It's just great.
He does
it's
an
awesome.
Incredible job. Alabama football is obviously very hot, as is Auburn sports as well. So two great shows there mm-hmm. And many others. That's at bigbrainsmedia.com. But we would love to hear from you as well. The best way to correspond with Melody and I is on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/undone redone. And we can, we'll try to post, things there. I've already got up actually the blog post that I wrote that I referred to earlier.
Yeah.
It's available there, but we'd love to hear back from you as well. If you want to email us, Melody is at melody@undoneredone.com, and I'm Traylor, TRAYLOR, at undoneredone.com. We're also on Twitter at TLovern and MLovern there on Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you there. So guys, we are so thankful that you have joined us again for another episode of Undone Redone. We hope that just in the few moments that we've had together, give you some perspective here during your Holy Week, and mm-hmm. hope that truly it will be
a
celebration.
Yes.
With that, this is Trey and Melody. Remember, life is messy. Bring your boots.